We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and I hope you have had a great week and you're planning on having an even greater weekend. We want to invite you out to our Sunday services this week. This is Memorial Day weekend, and Every Memorial Day, my worship leader and piano player, they have two different reasons, but they're both gone Memorial Day weekend. And so we've got some guests that are coming in. My daughter-in-law is actually going to be in helping us with worship on Sunday. She's a real blessing. And this coming Sunday is also not only Memorial Day weekend, but it is Pentecost Sunday. And so I'm preaching a message, and my daughter-in-law is from Boston, and so they came by here not too long ago to see me for my birthday. And as they were there, I said, I just want to ask your permission, because I feel like I've got a title for my message, but I don't want to offend you or anyway, but I told her what the title of the message was, and she said, no, you won't offend me, but she's from Boston. They're New England Patriots fans, but this coming Sunday, Memorial Day Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to be preaching a message, and the title of my message is going to be Deflategate. And if you've been paying attention to any of the sports, you know about all of the stuff about that was taking place right before or in the NFL playoffs. And there were accusations that the New England Patriots were letting the air out of the ball. And the goal is to get the ball to the end zone. And so, I'm going to be preaching a message this coming Sunday morning called Deflategate. And, it may not be the type of message that you think, but I would like to invite you to come out. We're believing for a powerful move of God this coming Sunday morning at 10:30. Now, this Sunday and the following Sunday, May the 31st, we only have Sunday morning services. This coming Sunday, anytime we have a holiday, we take that Sunday night off and give everybody an opportunity to relax. And, a lot of times people are going out of town. But next Sunday after the service on May the 31st, we have one of our fifth Sunday once a quarter potluck dinners. And we have a lot of great food that comes through. And so we'd like to invite you out to be a part of that. So come be a part of what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. There's a lot of good things that are going on. We're going to finish today in Luke chapter 8. I'm going to go back and read verses 49 through 56. We are going to be concluding our study on Jairus's daughter. And so let's go ahead and take a look at that. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. So In verse number 54, we find Jesus taking an even a further step than what he had done earlier. At some point in time, only Peter, James, and John, and the little girl's father, Jairus, and his wife went into the room. But when they got into the house, they found mourners there, and there were people who did not believe what Jesus said. They believed what they, quote-unquote, knew more than what they believed Jesus said. I want you to know that we have got to believe the Word of God. We cannot expect supernatural things to take place while disbelieving the statements that God has made. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What are you going to fill your ear up with? Recently, I had a medical test done. I had an MRI done, and it's a very loud test, and so they give you these little earplugs that they put in your ear, and then they give you these headphones to put on, and they said, "What would you like to listen to?" And they ended up putting some Christian music on. I want you to know that the presence of God came into that MRI machine, and it came just as the test was ending. I didn't get to finish the entire song. It was a song that had been popular a long, long time ago. I hadn't heard it in a long time, but it just reminded me brand new all over again about how much God loves us and how much he's willing to forgive us if we will just come to him and admit that we are a sinner. So I was just having a glorious time in the presence of the Lord. And then, you know, there's a voice that comes over and says, "Okay, the test is done. I'm coming in to get you out of the machine." And if you've ever been in an MRI tube, it's a very close, confined area. But what would you fill your hearing up with? What would you put your faith in? Would you believe the negative report, or would you believe what God said? I have this way of doing things just to mess with people's minds from time to time. They'll ask me a question, and sometimes I will shake my head no while saying yes. And they said, well, which is it? Is it no or yes? And I asked them at that point in time, are you going to believe what you see, or are you going to believe what you hear? Are you going to believe what I tell you, or are you going to believe what you are seeing with your eyes? And so I've got some of the people in the church that they will do that from time to time as well. You know, they will respond like that. And, you know, whenever you're around people, sooner or later you pick up some of their habits and things like that. Well, you and I, if we're going to see miracles take place, we have got to put the emphasis on what God says. And Jesus said, her condition is not what you think it is. Her condition is she's not dead. This is not a mournable condition. This is not something that we should be weeping over. She's asleep. And what she needs is she needs to hear God speak to her. She needs to hear a command from the throne. So let's look at verse number 54. He put them all outside, and he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." So once he puts other people outside, and that's what I try and do periodically, is I try and get away, get myself shut in alone with God. Our children's director, he just had 4 or 5 days where it was just him alone with Jesus. And, you know, those things are wonderful. Those are wonderful getaways where you get to shut out the distractions of life, and you get to focus on the Word, remind yourself of what God has said. And I've shared some of that. And not only did he put those people outside, but then he takes the little girl by the hand. You know, touching a dead body This is the second time in Luke chapter 8 that Jesus would have found himself in a condition where he would have been deemed unclean. The first time was when the woman with the issue of blood touched him. She came up from behind and grabbed the hem of his garment. This time, he is the one who initiates the action. He has come by invitation. He reaches out and he grabs hold. Listen, a high priest was not supposed to do that. But he is not a high priest in the order of Aaron. He's a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. But he reaches out and he takes that dead girl's hand. I want you to know today that you're not on your journey alone. That God's not afraid to get into the situation where you are. He's not afraid to touch you. He's not afraid to identify with you. He's not afraid to reassure you and let you know that everything is going to be okay. How many times as a child did my mother, as we were walking, you know, she would just reach over and she would take me by the hand. And then when we got to be parents, we would take our kids by the hand. One of my favorite moments with my grandmother was she had gone with us. She's still alive. She's almost 101 years old. And she had gone with us to Six Flags over Texas. And they had the Great American Chevy Show. I'll never forget it. It was a panoramic screen and things. And they'd put you in all of these different modes of transportation, and it looked like we were going to drive right off of the cliff. And just before you get the cliff, the car, you know, is going at a high rate of speed, and then all of a sudden it comes to a stop, and it transitions into a plane. Well, when it came to the car going over the edge of the cliff, my grandmother's arm went out. I'll never forget it. Her arm went out to protect me and my seat, and our seats weren't moving. It was just that things that on the screen made it look like, oh no, we're going over the edge. And she was reaching out to touch me to try and make sure that I was okay. Jesus, he walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. He will walk with you in your journey. He's not afraid to touch you. He is not a standoffish God. He is a God of connection and a God of relationship. And then after he takes her by the hand, he speaks to her and he says, little girl. Do you remember what he said to the woman who with the issue of blood? Daughter. This time he says, little girl, arise. Now, I want you to know that there is power in the decrees from the throne room of God. When I read Genesis chapter 1, I don't see a boring event of creation. I see, and God said, let there be light, and bam, there was light. Things just whoosh, it exploded into existence, and we're still amazed at the things that we are beholding in the heavenlies. I heard someone say about the situation with Lazarus, that when he called Lazarus out of the grave, that if he had not mentioned Lazarus' name, that there was so much power in that decree that everybody could have come out of the grave. But he mentioned Lazarus, and right now he says, little girl, arise. Whether you're an adult, whether you're a child, whether you're an old person, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're a little girl, a little boy, it doesn't matter. When God speaks, he knows exactly what the condition. This little girl's condition was more than likely different than the lady's condition. But Jesus was greater than both of those afflictions. He's greater than your affliction. He's greater than your problems. I want you to know that what we need is a word from God. What did God say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I want to ask you right now, what's God saying to you? What's he speaking to you? What command is he issuing on your behalf? Is he speaking to you physically? Is he speaking to your spiritual condition? Is he speaking to your creative ideas? Is he speaking to you breakthrough innovations that are going to transform society as we know it? Is he giving you ideas on things to let go of and things to run after? What's God speaking to you? Because that's where you're going to find the life, is when you are pursuing exactly what God has for you. You know, I've been at Merit Assembly of God for 22 and a half years, and we've seen our numerical lows and we've seen our numerical highs and all of that. And I've preached in churches with hundreds of people. I've preached at conferences. I'm here on the radio as well. And whenever I go to preach, I never preach as if there's just a few people there. I always preach as if I'm preaching to multitudes. Because I know that the Word of God changes things. So I don't get focused on, or for too long. Every once in a while, the focal point slips there, and it's like, oh. But I'm looking at the fact that, God, you called me here. God, you have a word for these people. I know. Listen, I don't do canned sermons. I don't buy other people's messages or any of that sort of stuff, because it's true, that may be a phenomenal message. But I don't want to preach a phenomenal message. I want to preach God's word for the people that come to hear what God has to say for them at Merit Assembly of God. And that may be, it may be a different word than what you need to hear at that point in time. It may be the word that you need to hear. And I'll never forget one Sunday I preached a message, and there was a man that wasn't there. He came knocking on my door Monday night. I just walked in the door. I was working a retail job down in Melbourne. I'd worked all day Sunday. And then I came home Monday night just looking for a little bit of a relaxation. Didn't even get to eat dinner yet. And this guy knocks on my door, and he begins to describe to me all of the problems that were going on in his life. And I said, man, I wish you had been here yesterday, because the message that I preached was all of those things. And then step by step, I began to lay out the Word of God to him that would address the situations. Recently, well, about a year ago, there was a lady at one of our Assembly of God churches up in Volusia County. And while she was at church, she actually expired. She died during the church service. And they gathered around, they called 911, they gathered around, they prayed for her, and by the time the ambulance got there, she had been restored back to life again. And my take on that was, man, I bet that lady was glad that she was at church that Sunday, and that there were people of faith around her. And today I want you to know that even though I may not be in your presence physically, that right now, if you have a situation in your life and you need someone to agree with you that God is speaking to your life to transform your circumstances, then contact us via the information at the end of the broadcast, via phone or address or email address, and we will get in touch, or we will be praying with you as regard to that news. After Jesus said, little girl, arise, then her spirit returned and she arose immediately. Okay. It says that Jesus spoke, and the very first thing that started taking place was in the spirit realm. Her spirit returned, her life returned to her. Now it doesn't say that, her body, began to change, and that resulted in a spiritual transformation. The spiritual condition changed. Instead of spiritual death, there was spiritual life, and that began to manifest physically. I want you to know that if the Spirit of the living God is living inside of you, that it's got to make a difference in the way that you and I live. It's living people respond differently than dead people do. Somebody told me at one point in time, I'd gone through a season, and it was kind of a painful season in my life. And the words that they gave me were this: dead people feel no pain. If you've been crucified with Christ and it's no longer you that live, but Christ lives in you, then you're not going to be offended by that. You're not going to be wounded by that, because dead people feel no pain. You've got eternal life that is living. Well, I want you to know that this little girl behaved differently when her spirit returned at Jesus' command than she did before Jesus spoke into the situation. And because Jesus spoke, she arose immediately. It was something that took place right then. I believe that if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, there has been spiritual life that has come into you, and it's going to manifest immediately. There are going to be addictions that you used to have that you're not going to partake of anymore. There are going to be some people that you used to hang around with because they were dragging you down. You're not going to be able to hang around them anymore because you're going to be wanting to grow in your faith. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And verse number 55 continues, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. I preached this message a few weeks ago. My daughter, who is home for the summer now, but she was home visiting that weekend, and I talked to her a little over a week after I preached this message, and this was the point that got her attention during that Sunday when I preached this message. And I said, Jesus commanded his parent, or this little girl's parents, Jairus and his wife, he said, you've got to feed your daughter. I want you to know today that you've got to feed your miracle. You've got to feed your miracle. And I'm not here, you know, saying, hey, you got to send in a financial contribution. Listen, I've learned a long time ago, God takes care of us financially. I don't have to go begging him. You won't ever see Merit Assembly of God out on a street corner begging with buckets or anything like that. We're not going to do that. We know that God is our provider, and he provides wonderfully for us. But what I am saying this is, when Jesus gives you a miracle, you don't want to ignore what he's done. You don't want to go right back into the same condition. You know, I've said it, God, if you're going to, you know, if I were to die and you were to raise me up again, I don't want to be raised up with the same afflictions that took me out just a few minutes ago. I want to be raised up with newness of life. I want to be raised up in supernatural health. And so this little girl, if they didn't give her something to eat, She would have got sick. She would have died all over again. And so I just felt quickened by the Lord when I preached this message. Feed your miracle. Take care of it. Nurture it. Nurture the word of God. If you've just had a worship breakthrough in your life, don't stop worshiping. Feed that thing. Worship. Worship him more than you've ever done. If you've just had a breakthrough in the word, you've just seen something, do an extensive study on it. Shut the television off, gather around with some other believers and say, hey, this is what God is doing in my life. Let's feed this. I tell you that is one of the things that God has used through the years to bring me some of the greatest breakthrough revelations that I have had. I was doing a study one time on purity, and in the NIV, there was as I was doing the study on purity, I came across a verse in 1 Samuel and also in the book of Psalms, and it says, to the pure you show yourself pure, or to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the pure you show yourself pure. And all of a sudden, I had just stumbled upon a great study on faithfulness that revolutionized my world and said, listen, if I'm faithful, God is going to reveal his faithfulness to me. It's not that God's faithfulness changes. It's that people's unfaithfulness blinds them to the revelation of how faithful God is. But if I will walk in obedience and faithfulness, God's going to show himself faithful. And so I did an extensive study on that. And, you know, I when I go to study the Word of God, I don't go studying the Word of God to make it say what I want it to say. I go to the Word of God and say, God, what does your Word have to say? I allow the Word of God to impact my faith, instead of just my opinion skewing my perception of what the Word of God says. I hope that makes sense to you. But I want to feed the miracles that God has given me. I want to testify to them. Listen, everybody had said they ridiculed him knowing that she was dead. He tells the parents there, he says, don't tell anyone what has happened. Don't tell anybody what has happened. You know why? All, let's see, Peter, James, John, father, mother, little girl, Peter, James, John, father, mother, little girl, Jesus, all seven of them are getting ready to walk out of a room where there had been six living beings and one dead body. Six adults, one dead little girl. And they were getting ready to open the door after they had fed this little girl. And when they were going to walk out, there were going to be five men, one lady, and one resurrected little girl that out of everyone's own mouth had just testified, she is dead. That was the current condition that they knew she was in. Jesus just did a miracle, and when they walked out, they're not, mom and dad, listen, Jairus had come expecting a miracle. He'd come asking Jesus to do a miracle, and then when Jesus did the miracle, it says they were astonished. You know, I just picture them with their mouth wide open, their eyes not blinking, just, is it really true? And he said, you got to feed that miracle. I want to challenge us, and that is this. Let's come to the place where we really believe that God is going to hear our prayers, answer our prayers, that he is going to not only do the natural, but he's going to do the supernatural. And then when he does it, let's not be shocked. I remember hearing about Brownsville revival, and they said the first time that a person up there was healed with cancer, I mean, that the place just went absolutely wild. And then the second person got healed of cancer, and they rejoiced. And then he said pretty soon we had had so many people healed of cancer that it was no big deal anymore. Let me tell you something. If I've got cancer and Jesus heals me, that's a big deal. If you've got cancer, Jesus heals you, that's a big deal. I want to make sure that I don't minimize or even forget about any supernatural thing that God has done for me. I want to feed it. I want to remember it. I want everybody to say, you know, that condition I used to be in, I'm not in that condition anymore. So for the past several broadcasts, we've been talking about Jairus. The truth of the matter is this: Jesus didn't love Jairus any more than he loves you. He will walk with you. Even if you don't hear anything from him, he, rest assured, he's on the journey with you. And he will not abandon you halfway. Even if situations start to look worse, keep your eyes fixed on him. Listen to him. He knows what he's doing. Let's pray today, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for this glorious week. Lord, I pray that miracles would take place at churches all across this county. God, I pray that faith would be built. I pray that when we go to work back on Monday, Lord, that there would be a transformation that would have taken place. Lord, that people would realize that change has taken place even before we say anything. God, we give you all the glory and all the praise. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.